What's up, everybody? Welcome back. You're on the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. That's me, your host. We've got our former congressman, dear friend, Joe Walsh is here. What's up?
It's good to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you're here. And seriously, it's always such a good time talking with you. And this is the real reason I wanted to talk to you originally was I wanted to speak to you about, okay, we're past the hangover. We're past the gut punch. I wanted to see, now that we're a little removed from this and reality is setting in, how can former conservatives be part of this solution? And it's an interesting topic that, admittedly, I have a vested interest in, because people are, I haven't said this yet on the show, and I will now, but people have been asking me, what am I going to do? And so I'm trying to figure that out myself. And so as a former conservative, what influence can we expect to be able to do here in the next couple of years?
So before the election, there were always four options for someone like me, a former Republican, still a libertarian, kind of a conservative dude like me. Before the election, there were always four options. We try to fix and reform the Republican Party. We start a new party. We become Democrats, conservative Democrats, or we kind of become like a party in exile, people in exile, stay independent and just go after MAGA every day from that vantage point. The election happens. Trump wins. He wins by more than people think. And that right away, Mark, took two of those options off the table. And I always knew. I always knew my former party's never fixable or savable. No. But a lot of people clung to that. Yeah. Okay, now we know. Screw it. It's the MAGA party forever. Yep. So that it can't be fixed. There's no interest in starting a new party.
No.
Because Trump won, a lot of the big independent money people no longer want to even go there.
What do they want to do?
So that option... Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay, all right.
So that option, Mark, is off the table. So that leaves two options. We become conservative Democrats, or we stay out here in the independent wilderness, and from our vantage point, in essence, we help Democrats by attacking what this Republican Party is. A lot of the big independent money now believes the only game in town is the Democratic Party, so we got to kind of move the Democratic Party to the middle. So I think you're going to see a lot of the money that might have gone to a new party now try to bolster the Democratic Party to defeat MAGA.
So it's the
but
return
for people
of,
like me and yeah. you. For people like me, it's I either become a conservative Democrat or I become this part of this guy, part of a movement in exile where we go after MAGA every day.
Yeah, and I think I announced this last week on my show. I went the route of I did join the party, and I wanted to be like a guy from across the pond, the old Bart Stupak and the Blue Dogs, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that message can resonate in a pretty blue collar area, you know, Wisconsin and just like in Illinois too. But you know, how much sway do we have?
Well, that's a great question. And look, and I wrote this article, and it came out on MSNBC like a day before the election. Democrats haven't had to get their act together because the Republicans the last 8 years have been so bat crazy, you know what.
Yeah.
But now that Democrats lost, now they have to address their problems. And they've got a real battle now between, do we now turn left? Look, I think the party needs to be populist. Does that mean far left populist or centrist populist? They do need to be populist. But we don't know which way the Democratic Party is going to go yet. Would the Democratic Party welcome former Tea Party or Joe Walsh to their ranks? I have no idea. I have no idea if I'd be accepted. My buddy Adam Kinzinger, he's got to figure out the same thing. Yep. Would the Democratic Party accept him? Is it that big of a tent? We don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually going to bring him up because I talked to him, I think it was last week. We called each other and it was cool to talk to him. But he said that historically speaking, Republicans, and you know this, Republicans were always the one that did better in the off cycle, low turnout elections. And now it's kind of the opposite, you know. And I would imagine that someone like you or Adam or maybe even myself, the experience that we have living in that world, you know, for all of the time that we did, I would imagine that that could be quite helpful.
I would think and I would hope, which is why it's an option. And my mom and dad, who were lifelong Republicans, who both passed away 5-6 years ago, they'd be rolling over in their grave if they thought their son Joey would become a Democrat. But this is a really weird, unprecedented time, and the Republican Party now can never be changed. And I've known that for a while. I think Adam gets that now. You either stay in the independent wilderness and try to make a difference. That's tough to do. And let's be real. Look, I've run for office. I got elected. There's a part of me that always wants to run again. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to run if you don't belong to a team.
It is. Yeah. I have that too. And it's interesting because I thought I was done with elected office. Yeah. And, this was kind of my way to do that, but then all of a sudden all of this happened, and now people are calling me, hey, what are you going to do? Hey, can you do this? Hey, let's talk. And it's that's been a fascinating thing for me personally. But and one of the things that's going through my mind as I'm going through that process is, okay, well, I think that the backlash, I think the blowback that happens in 2 years is going to be seismic. But is it enough that to just tie a representative to Donald Trump? Is that enough? Or because James Carville said what he just wrote an article said, it's still the economy, stupid.
I'm so tired of James Carville. These guys who are like Mr. Know-it-alls, and he was convinced Kamala was going to win.
Yes, yeah, he was.
But look. He is right in that we've been living in a populist moment. Average people are pissed off. So along comes a demagogue like Trump, and he lies to these average regular people, but at least he's listening to them. The Democrats have ignored regular people and the things they care about, like the price of stuff and, our border is a mess and, you know, all of that. I mean, Trump lies about the migrants, but the Democrats haven't talked about stuff like this. So regular people chose the demagogue over the snob. They look at Democrats as snobs.
Yeah. Well, and it's what's crazy is Democrats losing the the middle class voters, you know, the backs of the blue wall, the union,
because
people.
They become elites. They become Mark, when I got elected 12 years ago, Republicans dominated the college educated vote. It's completely flipped. Democrats have become college educated snoots.
So what we would have to do now is, and so what you're saying is tying someone to Donald Trump, that is not enough. We do have to talk about the fact. And what's interesting is Donald Trump talks about the economy, and then the day after the election, where, you know, he's like, I'm going to fix this. And then he says, well, you know, it's actually going to be pretty hard. So he's already trying to walk it back.
He's a total liar. He's a total BSer. But again, that clearly that no longer matters. He tried to overthrow an American election 4 years ago, and he just got reelected. So, hello, Democrats. Wake up. Fight. You got to start fighting. You got to roll your freaking sleeves up and get down and dirty and fight. There aren't enough Democratic fighters.
No. I know. And, that's something that I really wish that we had. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to run again?
I'm going to give you an honest, evasive answer. I do not know. I honestly do not know. I'm not a young man. I'm not 30 anymore. I wish I were 30. I wish I had more energy. But I don't want to get out of the game yet. But I just don't know that's going to manifest itself.
And that's the one thing that I look at. And, you know, people like you, people like Kinzinger, you were all in. All the chips were at the center of the table. This is it.
Yep.
I mean, you campaigned for Harris. Kinzinger spoke at the DNC. Like, well, now what? What happens now?
And that's why, like, he and I have talked. I mean, for 3 months, I was in a battleground state campaigning for her every single day.
All over the country. Yes.
And and we lost. And I don't know, should I just hang it up and go do something else? I don't know. It'll figure itself out. But the key is the Democrats need to get their act together, and all of us need to help them. Because the most important thing we can do, Mark, is the Democrats need to win back the House in 2 years. Yeah. That's the most immediate change. Yes. They're not going to take back the Senate. That's out of reach for a while. But they can take back the House in 2 years. That's the battle.
It is. And I think, you know, we can't – and it's – we can't – we have to focus on the economy, yes. But I don't think we can ignore that 500-pound orange elephant in the room. You know, if the people that are in Congress just do what Donald Trump wants them to do and not what's good and right for the people that they represent.
Yes, and let's hope that, again, I expect that Mike Johnson will breeze to the speakership. I don't think there's going to be drama. But the next 2 years are going to be chaos, drama, and incompetence in the House.
What do you think is going to happen?
What?
In the House. Game plan that. What do you think?
And it was the last 2 years. But this 2 years, because all Trump cares about is revenge for Trump. And this is the slimmest majority a party has ever had in the House. So Mike Johnson, I mean, I think he'll become Speaker easily. Yeah. But to try to get anything passed in the House is going to be mission impossible. It's going to be a cluster, you know what.
Right. And I think that they're going to spend so much time focusing on the wrong things. You know, from, you know, stopping illegal immigration because that's gonna stop the attacks on New Orleans, you know. And
Trump's going to lay down 100 executive orders on day one. Yeah. And a lot of them will get thrown into the courts right away. But it's going to focus on deportation, pardoning Jan 6 people, eliminating a lot of EPA stuff, I mean climate stuff. It's going to be ugly.
Well, you know, and that's the frustration, I think, for people like us, too, where we want to fight Trump because what we're going to see is, I mean, look, you pardon January 6th insurrectionists, you pardon people who tried to overthrow democracy. That is the biggest middle finger to the Constitution and to the United States of America. I think that could have happened since the Civil War.
Right, but Trump did that 4 years ago all by himself. He committed crimes trying to overthrow an election, and he didn't pay a price for it. So we're in uncharted territory.
It's wild where we are.
Love you, brother.
Hey, buddy.
We got to fight. We just got to keep fighting.
I appreciate that very much. We got and dude, come on back. I appreciate our friendship.
Anytime.
I appreciate that so much. And, I can't.
Thank you, boss.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Talk soon. Thanks,
you got
brother.
It. That was former Congressman Joe Walsh here on the Rational Revolution. I cannot thank him enough for his time and his expertise, because you know it's interesting. I'm sure if you follow politics, you know who he is, and it's really neat to be able to kind of get him on the show where he has that freedom to not speak in sound bites, and it's really interesting what he has to say because he's got a lot of experience. So. We got my thoughts here coming up on the other side of the show, or other side of the break on the Rational Revolution. We'll be back